journey with that, we want to lean into our message this morning. If you're joining with us for the first time, we have just started. We're a couple weeks into our summer series about On Repeat. And in the first week, we learned that there's a lot of things that run on repeat in our mind. Some not so great, but others are. And we realize that as we look at what does it mean to have truth repeating in our lives, one of the greatest places we can look to in Scripture is the Psalms. Because Psalms were God's way of using poems and using songs to speak eternal truths over his people then and over his people now. That when other lies and other things were coming against them, they could reflect and remember of these goodness. That they would teach their kids to remember, to recite, and to sing these Psalms. And so I believe that if we have so many other things on repeat, we would start this summer by replacing those with God's word. How many think that's a good idea? So we started last time with Psalm number 1, but don't worry, we're not going to Psalm number 2. In a second, we're going to jump to almost the third way through it. But before we do that, I want to ask you a question. How many have ever had a week where it feels like everything you touched was falling apart? If your hand's not up, I need to hang out with you more. Sometimes you have those weeks where every time you try to pick up the phone, it's bad news. You go out to the car, you go to turn it over, and the battery doesn't start even though it's summer. And then you think, I'm going to jump in another vehicle, or I'm going to ride the bike to work, and there's a flat tire. Ever have those moments? And then you get the bad news, maybe it's even more severe, where it's a bad diagnosis. Maybe there's some conflict inside of your family or inside of your workplace. Maybe you're struggling because you've been laid off or you're in the middle of transition. If we're honest with ourselves, most of us have had those moments where it feels like our life's falling apart. And if not you, a friend of yours has had that. And so this morning, as we look at the psalm that we're about to pull apart, this is a psalm that speaks right to this. Actually, at the very beginning of the psalm that we're going to look at, this is what is happening. The psalmist, the sons of Korah, they're speaking of this psalm, and they're literally talking about a time and about an era where it seemed like the worst that could ever happen was about to happen. But throughout this psalm, it gives us hope. It gives us hope of how we should respond and where we should look to when it seems like life is falling apart or when our world is falling apart. And I don't know about you, but when I pull on the news or I look down a news feed, I think there's times where in my heart it feels like, man, everything's falling apart. But instead of having that belief running on repeat in my mind, I think we can look to the psalm and Psalm 46 today to give us hope that that would be what we would meditate on. That would be what we would play on repeat in our minds. And so if you're okay this morning, we're going to go to Psalm 46. And the title of our message is this, When Life Falls Apart. Because today in our scripture, there is an answer for that cause. And here it is. It says this in verse 1, reading verse 1 through 11. God is our refuge and our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not do what? We will not do what? We will not fear when earthquakes come and mountains crumble in the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. And we see this follow-up, which says Selah, or interlude. It's a pause and reflect. Then it goes on to the second portion. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. And again, then it goes Selah, or interlude. It's broken into three sections, which is reminding us that each one, pause and think. Stop for a second. Don't just keep running on with a run-on sentence, but instead pause and reflect. And it continues on, come and see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and the snaps the spears. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Again, Selah. And so we've got these 11 verses as we unpack this today. But it always starts as we're diagnosing a problem. If we're struggling with vehicles, we're struggling with relationships, we're struggling with finances, the first thing we need to understand is the problem. We need to look at the present situation or circumstance of not only our lives many times, but the world around us. And that first truth is this. What do you do when life's falling apart? What does it look like? Because as we said this morning, if we're honest with ourselves, we've all encountered one of those moments where we've all of a sudden heard some bad news and we don't know how to deal with it. Where all of a sudden our life isn't planning out or playing out the way that we expected it would. Or when we're struggling with kids or where things aren't going in our family the way we thought they would and we're wondering, what now? Where do I turn? Where do I go? And this is a journey that we see the psalmist speaking of because he understood and they understood what would encounter. Many scholars would see it was speaking of a time of past where a large nation or a large warring nation against the Israelite people and the Hebrew people were coming against them, and it seemed like they were so much greater than God's people and their nation and their army. When it seemed like all hope was lost, but God stepped in. And this is the context of what we see our psalm. But we have those moments that when we feel like everything is up against us, when all the bad news is raging, there's usually three responses that we have. One, we get filled with fear. We start to feel overwhelmed. And then often we feel alone. Ever felt any of those? You don't have to put your hand up. You can put your hand up for a friend. Ever felt like when the bills keep stacking and the credit cards are running and all these other things are going, you're like, where do I go? You turn on the news and you feel overwhelmed with the state of our country, the state of our globe, and say, where now? And then sometimes when it's all going wrong, we feel all alone. We feel on our all by ourselves. We start to think, does anybody care? Does anybody see? Does anybody know? And another truth of looking is this, sometimes in our world, it feels like life is coming undone. That's what the psalmist was saying as he goes progressively through. We see this truth, and think about what he just said in the psalm. It says, he's imagining the worst possible natural disasters. The earth give way, mountains collapse into the sea, waters roar, mountains shake. To the ancient Israelite people, this represented undoing of creation itself. I don't know about you, but that would sound like a bad day. We struggle, and there's a lot going on even in our province today with the wildfires of people losing their homes or different, the fear that is raging, that feels like the worst it can be, and it is. But as the psalmist is progressively going and saying, the earth is shaking, mountains are falling, the waters are raging, everything that could go wrong, if they were looking back, and the Israelite people, or those who, God's people who would have been reading this, would have been thinking back to the Genesis account, where it was formless and God brought order into the chaos, into the formless world, in those moments where he said, let it be, and it was. And in this moment, it felt like everything was unraveling. Have you ever had a week or a day where it felt like your life was unraveling? Maybe some are coming in this morning or watching online and it feels like your week's unraveling. This is a psalm meant for us, meant for you, where it feels like there's no hope. And the mountains are falling into the sea, and the earth is coming apart, and everything is shaking, and you're like, where do I turn? Where do I go? This is for us, and you and I have the choice whether we will fear or whether we will reflect and meditate. What will we have on repeat in our mind and our hearts? Will we have the nations raging? Will we have the mountains crumbling and the earth shaking? Or will we reflect and look on something else, something greater? Because fear grows when our circumstances feel bigger than our God. Let me repeat that one more time. Fear grows in our lives and through our lives when our circumstances feel greater or bigger than our God. Most of us would say that never happens to us. Ever got overwhelmed? Started spiraling because the bills were too big, the problems were too big? In that situation, what is happening, our fear of our circumstances, the overwhelm of our circumstances, is starting to cloud out the greatness and the goodness of our God. There's a tension there. And the psalmists, the sons of Korah, they understood this. They understood that we would have those things running on repeat. The regret, the resentment, the fear, all those things run rampant in our minds, that they run rampant even when we put our head on a pillow. But they were reminding us today that you and I don't have to live in fear. There is a hope beyond that. But what do we do when we get scared, when we get overwhelmed? We feel alone. Usually three things we often do, and this is across the board. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter what part of the world you are living in presently. These are three sort of universal things that we do when we are scared, we're overwhelmed, or we're looking for strength. First one, we search for a safe place. If you're scared, and we see it with kids, or you see it, I have a puppy at home, and it's funny. When all of a sudden it gets scared, it's looking for a safe place. Usually it runs away from me, but it must think that I'm the biggest dog in the house. And so in those moments, it gets scared outside, and it comes flying around, and it tucks in under your leg because it's looking for a place of refuge. It's looking for a safe place that it can hide, it can find safety in. The second one, we try and find the strength to carry on or to power through. Ever feel like you're at the end of the rope? You're running on fumes? Some of our prayers are, God, please help me to give me the strength to make it another day. We're searching for that. The third one, we're searching for help. We're looking for someone to step in. Like I joked with Maisie, our pup, she's looking for me to hopefully be her one to stand in between, to come and bring help. Maybe she's running from our larger dog and all of a sudden running back here, and it's like, you go talk to Ori, the other dog. It's in these moments, and we use that in a fun little way, but these are things, if we're honest with ourselves, we do. But isn't it interesting that if we would, second truth this morning, stop and think about what the psalmist said, maybe there's an answer of why we don't have to be afraid today. Because when life is falling apart, the first answer and the first thing that we need to do is stop and think. So I want you to do me a favor, if you would, look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, stop and think. Look to your other neighbor and say, neighbor, he's talking about you. So in those moments, we need to be reminded that when life is falling apart, when we're searching for a safe place, when we're searching for strength to press through and to carry on, when we're looking for someone to help, we don't need to look to ourselves like the word that was shared from God this morning. We need to trust on Him, so we need to pause and stop and think. Because when we read through the scripture that we did, all those things were happening, but we don't see that God's people at the end of it were filled with fear. It didn't say that they were filled with tremble and fear, that they were hiding. Instead, it said all of those things are happening, but there was a confidence. So where did that confidence come from? The beginning of the psalm starts with chaos, but it ends with confidence, a triumphant declaration of who God is, who God will always be, that He is still on the throne. We end with this confidence, but it starts with chaos. But how do we get there? Because that's what God's calling for our lives today, that in the midst of chaos, when it feels like it's unraveling, it's not putting our head in the sands and saying that is not real, but instead we would pause and think and have a confidence in someone who is greater. And so where does that come from? The fact is, the circumstances or environment around us may not always be stable, but our God is always stable. Your day, your life, your journey, your week, it may be filled with chaos, and most of us, if we're honest, is. Our world is pretty mixed up. You turn on the news for a few moments, and you're like, wow, there's a lot of stuff going on. Our world can feel like it's always shaking and topsy-turvy. But in those moments, we don't take our cue, we don't take our strength from the things of this world or what is around us or the environment around us. We take our cues from the one who is a firm foundation, who is always stable, who is always strong, who is with us, who is for us, not against us, who calls us the head, not the tail. We stand on that. But in the moment, we have to not be overwhelmed and undone by the circumstance, but in the midst of that crazy circumstance, in the midst of the unraveling, in the midst of the chaos, we need to stop and think. That's why the psalmist said in three different portions, Selah. He said, pause. Pause and reflect. Pause and trust. Pause and think of the goodness of our God. Our God is more secure of a foundation than the earth itself or any kingdom of this world. At the beginning, he talks about the natural, the physicalness of our world. Then he talks about the kingdoms and the economies of our world. And he's reminding us that in the midst of all of that, he is sovereign. He is above all. Church, that's what he's asking of us, to just pause and think. Not reflect on what is around you first, but reflect on who is in front of us, and that's him. And he goes on, and it started in the very first verse. He makes this comment that the psalmist wants us to pause, meditate, and place on repeat in our lives, and he says these things. God is our. So if you've got your Bible, or if you've got someone else's Bible, or you just want to write it on their arm if you've got a pen, you want to write, God is our. That's speaking personally to you and to me. We need to underline that. This isn't someone else's God. This isn't a God who cares just about your neighbor more than you. But instead, this is a God who cares intimately and personally about your life, about your journey, about the world that is feeling like it's unraveling in under your feet. And he says, God is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our ever-present help in times of trouble and need. What did it say that all of us search for when we're scared, we're troubled, or feel like we don't have enough strength? What do? We look for a place of protection. We look for strength to get us through. And we look for someone to come and help. That's a universal thing that when people are in trouble, we're all searching for that. We're all longing for that. And the one that we are longing for is not found in the things of this world. What we are longing for is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our sovereign God who is still on the throne. And he's reminding us today that in the midst of our chaos, in the midst of our trouble, in the midst of the trial that you are walking through, which is real, which is hard, which is deep, that you and I have a Savior, that you and I have a refuge, a safe place, that you and I have a one who is stronger than anything, that there is no rival to, and he is with you. And that's why we can have hope, church. That's why we can have confidence even in the toughest situations. It doesn't mean, understand, it doesn't mean that at a snap of our fingers, everything's going to get better. Most of us have lived long enough to know that that's not how it works. But what we can pause and reflect on, oh, is that he is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our ever-present help in the troubled times. That you and I are not going through it on our own, but he is with us. So let's pause for just a second and sort of lean into those. That first part, we're stop and think on this, because what do you stop and think on when it's stressful? How many of you have ever worried about something before? Okay, otherwise I'll be looking for a lying psalm here somewhere. Most of us have worried about something, even though Scripture tells us don't worry about it. Many times it's not that we don't know this, it's that we forget it in the midst of the trial. We know, if you've been in church for a few days or a few weeks or a few years or multiple decades, you have heard that he is our refuge, he is our strength, he is our ever-present help. That's a truth that echoes throughout Scripture from the beginning to the end. We know this, but in the midst of chaos, in the midst of unraveling, when our world is falling apart, we forget this truth. So today, my hope is that we would be reminded not only here, but that truth would follow through into our hearts, and it would resonate on repeat within us, that in the times of trial, in the times of crisis, in the times of temptation, you and I would say together, he is my God. He is my refuge. He is my strength, and he is my ever-present help in the troubled times. So what does it mean to be our refuge? It means that God is our strength. He is our safe place. The shelter, the place of peace that where we can hide. In those moments, we're not secure, and it says that he dwells within the city. You and I are not secure because of what we have or where we reside. We are secure because God lives here. So it's not about your background. It's not about even your present. It's about your God. Our confidence is not found in who I am, but my confidence is found in who he is and who he says I am. And so in those moments, that is our place of safety. And who knows us better than the one who knows us from the beginning? We can trust him. He knows what we need to be safe. He knows what we need to walk in protection. Then he lists off, as we see in the later verses, verse 4 through 11, it provides us with the reason and the proof of why we can trust him to be our refuge. The psalmist was leaning in and saying, this isn't something up for debate. If you will let him, God already is your refuge. He already is your safe place. His presence is with you, and in his presence there is peace. There is fullness of joy because you don't have to fear because he is with you. Church, do we remember that? And if we do, do we walk in it? Then it follows up, what do we stop and think on besides that he is our refuge? We stop and think on, in our Selah moments, that God is our strength. The word that he uses here for strength or power is the same word used in Acts 1:8. That dunamis power, that explosive and dynamite power, from the same root word that we get the word dynamite from. That's what he's saying. He is that. He is the dunamis power, the strength that walks through, that helps us to walk through every trial, every circumstance. It's not in your strength, but in his strength. We need to be reminded of this truth, that if the nations will listen to his voice because he is sovereign, who can stand against him? But do we live like that? Or do we live cowering from every circumstance or situation? The psalmist was reminding us of that truth, that everything else around us may be falling apart. Oh, but you and I have the strength we need to make it through the day, make it through the week, make it through the year, make it through the journey that he's placed in front of us, not because of our strength, but because of his strength in us. He's given us the Holy Spirit to empower us so that we can fulfill the mission and the purpose that he's placed within us and before us. We have to walk in that truth, that he is our strength. Psalm 18, verse 1 to 5 reminds us of the same thing. The Lord is my strength. He is my rock. He is my deliverer. He is my fortress. He is my savior. He is the one that we can rely on to help us get through those difficult seasons, but it doesn't stop there. He isn't just our safe place. He isn't just our strength, but he's our ever-present help. Verse 7 and 11 remind us of this truth, that God is not just out afar, but he's a personal God who cares and intervenes and gets involved in our lives. He didn't just send help. He didn't just sit on the throne and say, well, I'm not invested. But he himself, God himself, Jesus comes and he meets with us. He is Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. We see in verse 7 and 11 that he is with us. He is invested. He is always present, always available. He is with you through every fight, every circumstance, every trial. You will never have to fight alone when you're walking with him. You may feel alone, but the truth is, the fact is, not your feeling, the fact is that he is with you. Ever present help in the troubled times. You are not alone. For some in this place, that's what you need to hold on to today. You've been feeling like you've been fighting this uphill battle all by yourself. You feel like you've been holding together all the different pieces of the rope, putting all the gum in the holes in the boat. But I want to tell you today that you don't have to do it alone. You were never meant to do it alone. He has come and he is coming because God is with us. Now, there's a few who maybe got that truth. It's that reminder, church, that in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the turmoil, our God is here. He's walking beside you. He's lifting you up. He's providing that safe place. He's meeting every one of those needs according to his riches and glory. That's where we find that hope. That's what we need to pause and think on. I love what Charlie Dates, and he says it this way: difficult circumstances do not erase the presence of God, but it is the presence of God that enables you to get through the difficult circumstances. Let me repeat that one more time. Difficult circumstances do not erase the presence of God, but it is the presence of God that enables you to get through the difficult circumstances. Understand, church. This is not saying, and the psalmist is not saying, and I'm not saying, that you're not going to have troubles. We are going to have troubles. Jesus tells us that. He says there's going to be trials. There's going to be troubles that are going to come our way. But fear not, because God is greater. So it's not saying that your troubles are all going to go away. It's remembering that our troubles have to look Jesus, have to look God in the eye, and they are fearful of him. So in those moments where it feels like you can't make it, know that God is more than enough. We see Paul say that in Ephesians 3, that he can do exceedingly abundantly more than you ever dreamed or fathomed. So the situation that has you trembling in fear, we want to introduce him to the God who says to the waves, who says to the mountain, says move, and they move. That's who we have to stand on. That's what we pause and think on. Don't let your circumstances, don't let your environment, don't let what's running on repeat in our world or in your mind consume you, but instead focus on him, what is good, what is profitable, what is true. And when you do and let that repeat upon your heart and upon your mind, it will help us to walk in strength and walk in courage and walk in boldness even when tough times are tough. So we go to the final truth this morning. We started off, and there's a bit of a progression here, just like the psalmist. When life is falling apart, that was our problem. The middle solution is, what should we do? We should stop and think. Now, what should you stop and think on? What should you be leaning into? You should be leaning into knowing who he is. Because when we pause and think on it, the result is we'll not be afraid. The psalmist tells us that if we would pause and think on who God is, you and I will not be afraid, because we can be confident in God's character, in his closeness, in his protection, and his power. In those moments, if he truly is our refuge, our strength, and our ever-present help, there is no reason why we should be filled with fear. It's like, wow, that's a hard one. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have moments where you're like, wow, that's kind of scary. I don't know what's next. But it would not consume us, undo us, overwhelm us. There's a difference. A lot of the Christian walk is stepping out in faith, and you're like, oh, I'm kind of scared about this, but I trust you, God. That's okay. But what he's talking about is when you're overwhelmed, undone, and you're unraveling because we're like, I think this is too big for my God. I think that God has abandoned me. I think that God has gone those things. All things that are lies that sometimes run on repeat in our mind and our heart that come from the enemy of our soul, not from the truth of the Word of God. And so that's why the people of God would recite these psalms and these poems. That when they'd be walking through tough seasons, they would remember, God is my refuge, he's my strength, my ever-present help. But man, it's everything's falling apart. It's like the whole world is unraveling. It's like all that was happening at creation is falling apart. It's all going back into the sea. We don't know what's going on. But then the psalmist says, pause, think for a second. Be still and know that I am God. He says, pause, think about it for a second. Be still, relax. Ever have somebody tell you to relax? It's hard, eh? You're all panicked, and you're going all wired, and you're all crazy, and they're like, just relax, and you're like, I'm trying. You don't think I tried? We've all had that. And you're like, just calm down, and it's like, I'm trying, and then you sit there, and your leg's going like this under the table, and you're like, I'm trying really hard, because we've all encountered this. We've all felt that. And the psalmists, they understood that. But saying, be still and know. What are we supposed to know? We need to know who he is. Because peace comes from knowing who God is. Today, if you're like, I just need peace for my life, we need to find out who God is. He's our refuge. He's our strength, our ever-present help. He loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to come, to die for us while we were in the mess, while we were still in our sin, while our world and the world around us was unraveling and under the curse. And he came to make a way for you and for me to walk in peace and to continue to do so, to have life, a life abundant and full of glory, to have peace that passes all understanding. That means that it doesn't make sense, because the peace that we have is not found in us. The peace that we have as followers of Jesus is found in the Prince of Peace. It's not about you and me, it's about him. And learning who he is, because the more we know about him, because who God is to us, he will be through us. So that's why the psalmist is making that run on repeat from the youngest to the oldest. That when it feels like God's not there, he's like, no, God is my refuge. God is my strength. He's my ever-present help. But here's where it turns a little bit, in a good way. When we often say those verses, because that's a famous verse. Verse 10 is famous. Be still and know that I am God. Even without behind you, most of you were able to answer that. But we often think from a very spiritual application, which is true. We think that it's directed first towards us, the believers. But in the psalm, who was God talking to? He was talking to the raging nations. He was talking to the opposition. He was talking to those who were coming against God and against his people. And what he was really saying there, he's saying, be still and know. He's saying, relax. Lay down your weapons. Lay down your striving. And trust that I am who I say I am, because you don't want to mess with me. He's literally saying, lay that down and surrender, because I am sovereign God. And that's why he follows it up. He says, I will rule and reign. It wasn't a question. It was a statement. He's saying, don't fight against God, because there is no other one who is on the throne. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. There is none that compares. There is no rival to who he is. And he's saying, be still and know. So that which is waging against you, that which is coming against you, that weapon that is formed against you, the psalmist is saying that God is saying, be still and know. Be still and know that I am sovereign, that I am on the throne, and that there is none that can stand against. And then from that, as believers, we sit there and say, yeah, that's my God. Mm-hmm. So we walk and we reflect and we be still and know, and we trust that he is who he says he is. That's why he said he would break every bow, he would break every spear, he would burn every shield, because there is no longer the war, because it is futile. And so in those moments, we can walk in a confidence, even when our world is filled with chaos, because our God is still on the throne. And so that's why, as the followers of Jesus, we should be people that walk with a courage and a boldness, not because there isn't problems, not hiding our head in the sand, but we know who our God is, and we know he is walking with us, that he is our refuge, he is our strength, he is our ever-present help, that no matter what you are up against, our God is greater. Be still and know. So how do we do that this week as we land this plane this morning? How do we be still in the midst of all that's going on? This week, I want to challenge you to try this. When you're feeling overwhelmed and afraid, when it feels like your world is falling apart, because remember, this is probably going to happen. If not this week, in some time to come, you're going to have trials. You're going to have those things that come. So what do? First, pause. When it starts to unravel, when it starts to feel chaotic, okay, God, I'm going to stop. But it doesn't seem productive. I'm going to stop. I'm going to take a Selah. I'm going to be still and know. I'm going to pause and think on who my God is, or who our God is. Think on these truths. When everything else is running on repeat in your mind and your heart, pause and think, my God is my refuge, my God is my strength, my ever-present help in need. He is my God. And he said to the warring nation, the raging nations, be still and know. And so I will be still and knowing the truth that my God is still on the throne. He is my God. Pause, and you might have to remind yourself a number of times of that truth until it resonates from here to here, and then it moves to your hands and to your feet. Number two, pray. Call out to him. Tell him about your situation, your fears, and ask for help and ask for strength, and that would make his presence known to you. He wants to make himself known to you. So call out. Don't hide those feelings. Don't hide feeling overwhelmed. Don't hide feeling all alone. Don't hide being in fear, but instead call out to him. He loves you. How am I sure of that? Because he sent his son. His son died for us. He loves you. Number three, trust. Trust and rest in his presence. Get in the word, get in prayer, get into worship, and let his presence and strength be your safe place. Did you ever notice that sometimes you can come into church and you're like, man, this was a terrible week. Maybe you fought all the way here. That would never happen. Maybe the kids were unruly and you're like, man, this is chaos. But you come in and in those moments you start to praise. And it's just like things are changing. This week, trust. Trust in who he is. Trust that he hears and he responds to our prayers. And then walk in it. Get in his word, see what he says about you and he says about his kids and he says about himself. Because who God is to us, he will be through us. Church, this week, let's pause, pray, and trust and see what our God can do. This week, let's be still and know that there is no one like our God. Would you stand and pray with me, church? Thank you, Lord. Lord, this morning we thank you for who you are. God, there is none like you. Lord, in this place or online, if there's some today who feel like their world is falling apart, Lord, today we pause and we reflect on you. Lord, I pray that the truth of what was just declared today would resonate in their heart, would give them confidence not in themselves, but confidence in you, confidence in your cross and the empty tomb, that, Lord, you truly are on the throne. So, Lord, today help us. Help us to be still and know that when it feels like the waves are coming down, when it feels like the mountains are crumbling, that we would be still and know that you are our sovereign God, you are our King, and there is none that compares to you. Let us walk in that truth. Let us declare that truth in our words and in our actions this week. Lord, we know we can't do this life in our own strength. So, Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. Fill us afresh and anew. Empower us for mission. Empower us for service. Let everything we do and say bring glory and honor to your name. Be with us today as we go. And help us to remember every day to be still and know that you truly are God. Lord, we ask all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And we said together, church, amen, amen. Amen. Be blessed. Have an amazing week.